We bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. Again, we say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. There's an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, ask my brethren to look around and make sure everyone has one, at least has the opportunity to follow along with the lesson if you'd like. Now, a continuation from last week. The reading would have continued. You would have found in the next verse that you are the light of the world. That was last week's lesson, and there are still some extra outlines from that lesson on the stand in the back, if you'd like to pick one up. But today is, you're the salt of the earth. Several illustrations in the Bible describe us. Either describe our work, or words describe our relationship to one another, or our relationship to God. The Bible mentions that we're branches, and Jesus is the vine. The Bible says we're sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. But now we're talking about the light of the world and the salt of the earth for us. In the reading, Jesus gives a situation where he says, but if the salt has lost its flavor, King James translation uses the word savor. We don't use that word very often. But it has to do with that quality that makes it what it is. If the salt has lost its saltiness, if we as Christians lose that which identifies us as Christians, he says, continues his illustration of salt, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing. Oh. But to be thrown out, trampled underfoot of men. There's three main sections in our lesson today. Number one is the description to be appreciated. That we're the salt of the earth. We appreciate that illustration. Second, a danger to avoid. What if the salt loses its flavor? And then the third one is a destiny to abhor. Being good for nothing, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot of men. Wonder why Jesus didn't say we're the sugar of the earth. Or we're the honey. We're the ice cream. I was like, years ago when I was teaching school, San Diego Unified School District, the San Diego Union Tribune every Thursday would come out with this insert called a minifig for educational purposes, and so a lot of teachers would take this and use it in their classrooms periodically for a lesson study. When I saw the one on salt, well, actually, I saved that one and kept it in my files for times such as this. But in this, I'm not going to read the paper to you. But he mentions one of the most valuable materials in the history of the world is probably on your kitchen table. Says today we take this important substance, ordinary table salt, for granted. Throughout history, it was not so ordinary. Sometimes it was worth its weight in gold. We could not live without salt. All animals, including humans, need some salt for their bodies to work properly. Seasoning our food is only one of the reasons that common salt is important. Experts say there's more than 14,000 uses for salt. Then most people today get enough salt from their diets without adding more. Well, I wasn't going to read that sentence. What was I thinking? adding salt. But today, each American eats an average of 402 pounds of salt a year. Mentioned some salt talk, and this was kind of interesting because it was in a newspaper. But different sayings have developed from salt. And one of the first ones on this author's list is the salt of the earth. And she says it comes from the New Testament of the Bible. And gives a reference, Matthew 5:13, when Christ is preaching to the crowds. You can take something with a grain of salt. Not this sermon. There's an old salt. We have some of those here. You can be worth one salt. It means you've done a good job. The salt away means to put money aside from savings. You go back to the salt mines. It's the way people say they're going back to a job that they don't like. Worth its weight in gold. Earlier time, wars were fought over salt. Unless our lesson today, you're salt. There's some characteristics of salt that we need to put in place. Said without salt to preserve food, armies could not travel. During Roman times, soldiers were paid partly in salt. The word salary comes from the Latin word for salt. Don't pay me in salt. Throw me a can of Morton's. That blue brown canister of Morton's today. Salt. So in your notes, just kind of briefly go through, the time's already going by. But first of all, the description to appreciate. You and I are the salt of the earth. And being salt, we're needed, as many things said, and even in that article concerning salt. We're not only needed in the earth, but let's make it more practical. We're needed in the congregation here. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul said, "Now there are indeed many members." Yeah, look around. Many members, but one body. "And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.'" The illustration of a body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "My eye does not, and it's impossible to do what my hand does." See how you're needed. We're members of the body, not just we're salt. And again, the head cannot say to the feet, "I have no need of you." There's none of us here that can turn and say to the other, "I don't need you." We need one another. Salt is needed. I need you. You need me and those who sit beside you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:9 to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly." You could almost add to that, "I need you. I need you." Verse 11, Paul said, "Only Luke is with me. And get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in the ministry." You mean, Paul, you can't do it all by yourself? I can't do it. I need you. And you need me. I can't do it all by myself, and you can't do it all by yourself. Salt is needed. And each of us is salt. We need you in our Bible classes. We need you in our worship assembly. We need you in other gatherings. I want you to see, being salt, we're someone that's needed. Appreciate that we're needed. Number two, salt works at the expense of itself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 15, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls." We have to put ourselves to work, aren't we? Going to have to spend some time. Gladly do that. I'll gladly spend and be spent. So it's more than just getting our wallet out. It's involving ourselves in the work and in the lives of one another. In offering words of encouragement, it's an attitude of, "What can I do for you? How can I help you?" It's an attitude that says, "Let me get that." Salt works at the expense of itself. And going along with this, number three, salt must contact something to be effective. Salt has to get out of the shaker to be useful. You don't just buy the salt and keep it on the shelf. You don't just walk by, "Well, that's salt. Oh, I'm in that. Ooh, that's pretty." You don't just look at salt and admire it. Salt has to be put to use, out of the shaker. We're to be the salt of the earth. Our one obligation we have is to season our surroundings. not just in the earth, but the point is, let's make sure we start in the congregation, in the lives of one another. You know, when Jesus prayed in John 17, one of his prayers, Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. No. You're the salt of the earth. Salt, you're needed. We're valuable. We're in the congregation. Involve ourselves. You know, take ourselves out. Remember the story of the Samaritan. We usually call him a good Samaritan. And there's a reason. In Luke 10, verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, so as we go about our daily life, he came to where he was, the thief, or the man that had been attacked and laid by the wayside. Came to where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him. Remember that salt has to come in contact with something to be effective. He went to him. Didn't just see him. Came to where he was, went to him, bandaged his wounds. What do you need? How can I help you? He bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine, set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. You see, the Samaritan was going to, I will spend myself and gladly be spent. I'm going to come in, when I come in contact with you and see a need, I'm going to help you. Now the priest and Levi, they kept their salt in the shaker. They saw the man by the side of the road and kept going. They didn't come in contact. Philip in Acts chapter 8 makes contact with the Ethiopian. Ananias makes contact with Saul and teaches him. Paul and Silas make contact with Lydia and Philippi and the jailer. We can't be Christians just inside this building. That's the point. We being salt need to get out of the shaker. Just as we mentioned last week, we can't just be light in here. We're the light of the world. And we need to use those qualities that make us light the same way. Use those qualities that make that distinguish us as salt. Be the salt of the earth and the salt of the congregation. Number four, salt preserves and prevents. That was even in that newspaper. They recognized that throughout history, meats were salted to preserve them because they didn't have refrigeration and ice like we have. In the illustration of Genesis 19, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, remember he starts out with, if I find 50, will you save the city? And he whittles it down. How about if I just find 10, will you save the city? And the city would have been spared if they could have found 10. Just find 10. See, salt has the ability to preserve, and instead we are the salt of the earth. And if we exhibit those qualities, those characteristics, we have the ability to save or preserve others. Proverbs says, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin, that's a reproach to any people. To be salt. Number five, salt creates thirst. You ever hear the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know how you make a horse drink? You salt his food. Salt his food. Because salt creates thirst. Same way in our world. If we are going to be the salt of the earth, we want to create thirst in the lives of our family, our neighbors, our community, our world. So don't lose that quality that makes you salt or makes us Christians. Be sure we take that Christianity, that's being salt of the earth, outside the confines of this building, because we want to create thirst in the lives of others. We want to live our lives in such a way that others want what we have. And not to the point that anybody asks you, what are you on? Why are you so happy? It's because of Christianity. It's because of spiritual blessings being poured out in my life. That's why. Salt adds flavor. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. I mean, I can't pour salt on my words. But the idea is the things that we say needs to add flavor. The words that we say need to be seasoned so that it's received in a good way. In 1 Thessalonians 4:18, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. Well, those are words that are seasoned with salt. Because these are the words that offer comfort in time of need. Job said in Job 6, verse 6, so I put this one in your notes. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Flavorless? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? All you people that don't care for egg whites, even salt doesn't make it better. But we should so live that Christianity tastes good. We ask the question, does our presence make a difference in the congregation? Does our presence, us being salt, make a difference in our home? Or in our workplace? Because we're the salt of the earth. And salt, in this point, adds flavor. The major point number two, a danger to avoid. But what if the salt has lost its flavor? But if, it's a possibility, isn't it? It's a question, because he doesn't answer it in the text, but how does salt lose its flavor? It's almost in the text itself, because that's why I had the scripture reader start with verse 1. If we fail to put into practice the Beatitudes, if we fail to exhibit a humble attitude or meekness, and you look at the list that's in those Beatitudes, if we falter under persecution, we've lost our flavor of being salt. We lose those things. If we're not sad because of our sins, if we're not meek, if we don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, if we're not merciful, if we are not pure in heart, when we're not peacemakers, we lose that distinctive quality that makes us salt. When we're not the light of the world, when we hide our faith, when we put our light under a bushel, we've lost that quality that identifies us as light or salt. Jesus adds to the illustration. I didn't put this in your notes. But in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, Jesus said, if anyone does not abide in me, here's the hazard, the danger. He's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. I want to avoid that. I want to avoid being thrown out and trampled and losing my flavor. Then the last one, the major point, is a destiny to abhor. It's then good for nothing. Wow. So, the exhortation, the word of encouragement is, don't minimize your ability, your talent, your influence. As we said in point number one, everyone is needed. That's one of our qualities of being salt. You're valuable. All those things that we've mentioned over again. Don't lose that. Because then it renders us good for nothing. Be thrown out. I don't want that. Trampled underfoot of men. And again, Jesus adds to this illustration. In Matthew 25, verse 30, after telling the story, he says, "And so cast the unprofitable servant." The one that didn't do what he was supposed to do. That one that didn't take on the characteristics and the qualities of a servant. So because of that, he becomes unprofitable servant. So cast that one out into the outer darkness where there's weeping and the gnashing of teeth. So don't put your light out. Don't lose the qualities that identify you as salt. Those things that if we are servants, don't lose that quality of what can I do for you? How can I help you? In the next section of Matthew 25, Jesus is pictured in a judgment scene. And in verse 41 of Matthew 25, he'll say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me." He calls them cursed. "Into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, "These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." See, so the admonition is, and the word of encouragement is, don't lose that quality that identifies you as Christian, as being on God's side. And all of the other illustrations, if you're a branch, stay into the vine. If you're a sheep, be led by the shepherd. Don't let your light shine all around the neighborhood. If you're salt, take yourself out of the shaker and be salt of the earth. Be those things that identify you with the words that describe us. That either describe our work, our relationship to one another, or our relationship to God. Retain those qualities. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. You're here this morning, not a member of the New Testament church. And you're not a Christian. You've not been baptized for remission of sins. You had that opportunity. There's a simple plan or formula. You can list it on the back of your bulletin. Briefly go through this. So number one, I want you to hear the good news. Good news of John 3:16, that God so loved the world. He sent a son. I want you to hear that. Because Christianity is a taught religion. That's why Jesus said, "Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature." Tell people about this good news message. Then number two, you'll want to believe it. Jesus himself said in John 8, verse 24, "Except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins." I don't want to die in my sins. Number three, Jesus added to that in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you'll perish." I don't want to. Number four, you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's son. That's what Philip did, or the Ethiopian did when Philip preached a Jesus sermon to him. He said, "Here's water. Anything hinder me from being baptized?" "Well, if you believe, you may." He said, "Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son." Made a confession of faith. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down into the water. Well, Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip baptized him. And that's point number five, be baptized. And then you're in Romans chapter 6, "And then we rise to walk in newness of life." New life begins. And from that point on, then we begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now be salt. Be light. Be those qualities that identifies you as being on the side of Christ. That's the invitation. "Whosoever will may come." Let's stand together, sing the song.